prior will help Aaliyah get there.
Psalm chapter 1. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Well, we missed her, didn't we? Amen. I'm glad that she is back. Praise the Lord that she's back. Amen. All right. Well, be gentle on her. All right. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray and we will go on today. Lord, we thank you for our opportunity now to open your word and to read from it. Help each one of us to hear from you today, that you would have said what you want to be said and heard. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The blessed man, the happy man. Literally, that word blessed is happy. The blessed man is the man that walketh not. You know, it's interesting. A lot of times we don't like rules. I think it's just our nature. We don't appreciate rules. We think of rules as negative. I want to tell you something. Sometimes rules can be such a blessing. If you've ever been to a third world country, you'll appreciate the fact that people actually stop at stop signs here sometimes compared to other countries. I've been in countries where they don't stop at the stop sign, so they put a huge speed bump in front of the stop sign to try to get people to at least slow down. Rules are important. They save lives, and it's no different spiritually. God's rules save lives. God's rules are important. And if you're going to be a blessed man or a blessed woman, if you're going to be a blessed individual, you've got to learn to say no to some things and to recognize some things are negative and recognize that you've got something much better to enjoy. And so what does he not do? Let's look at, first of all, what does he not do? He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is ungodly? We think of ungodly, and we think of the most extreme ungodly. But the word un, U-N, when you put that U-N in front of a word, it changes it. For instance, grateful, ungrateful. Happy, unhappy. Healthy, unhealthy. Certain, uncertain. And so it's just the opposite of. And so if you can think of someone right now, they're not, as generally speaking, relatively speaking, they're not necessarily evil or wicked, but are they godly? Can I tell you something? If they're not godly, they're ungodly. Adopted, unadopted. Forgiven, unforgiven. Clean, unclean. Saved, unsaved. You don't have to be the most wicked person on planet Earth to be ungodly. The other night, someone was talking with us, and Brother Cook was there, Jim Cook, and about the entire public school system. Now, I'm not talking about the individuals who work there. There's even individuals who work there who are in this room. But the system as a whole is not. Anybody want to argue this? There's no Bible allowed. Is not what? Is not godly. Therefore, it is ungodly. The blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to tell you something. One of the dumbest decisions I ever made in my life that will stick with me until I die was made because I listened to something on the radio from an ungodly person. I don't listen to wicked people on the radio. I hope you know that. But I took some advice from someone who was ungodly. What they said motivated me to make a decision that I regret. You say, what is it? I'm not telling you. But you might say, well, I don't listen to the ungodly, wicked, liberal media. Let me tell you something. Most of the conservative media is not godly. It might be conservative, but it's not godly. And there are Christians who spend 3 hours a day listening to ungodly talk radio. I want you to understand what I'm trying to say. The blessed man focuses more. We're going to see in a minute what he focuses on. He focuses on things that are godly. Now, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't listen to it. He doesn't allow that counsel to make his ultimate decisions. You know, when it comes to media and when it comes to politicians and elections, I can tell you who to vote for. It's real simple. You want to know who to vote for? Whoever the media is telling you not to vote for, that's who you vote for. Okay? It's real simple, all right? But the blessed man doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. Now, what happens when you start walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you'll begin to stand in the way of sinners. You'll begin to loiter with them and to hang around them and to be more at home with them. We preach this to our children, and our children, I think, got it. But maybe some other teenagers and other young people, they don't get it, and pretty soon they start to be more at home with the ungodly, with people who are not saved. You see them out in the community, and they seem to be more relaxed and more comfortable with those who are not Christians than those who are Christians. That's mom and dad's fault, and it's their decision. It's a sad thing, and they won't be what? Blessed. They won't be blessed. Listen, that's not our goal here today, is to be the blessed man. The blessed man doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly and doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Now, the only exception to that is when you're standing there trying to share with them the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're trying to pull them out of where they're at, but to hang with them. And by the way, if you are someone like this, you actually become someone who stands in the way of sinners. In other words, you're part of the problem. You're the stumbling block that's in their way because you're not where you have to be. You say, well, we got to hang with them if we're going to reach them. No, no, no. We got to love them and we got to befriend them and tell them they need the Lord. But then we got to show them how to live and walk with God. And they want it. They'll come get it. This is a free country. We don't need to become like them to win them. And so, walk in the counsel of the ungodly? No. Stand in the way of sinners? No. Sit in the seat of the scornful. That means you just joined up with them. And eventually, after a while, the young person or old person begins to sit in the seat of the scornful. And they think that this type of activity we're doing right now is so silly and a waste of time. The blessed man does not become this type of person. He's negative about sin with a positive hatred of it and its results. So what does he do? Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the word of God, and he loves to hear and to listen and to meditate on the things of the word of God. You know, it doesn't matter how dynamic the speaker or how not so dynamic the speaker. If the Word of God is open, there's something you can get from it. If you desire it, it's there. You know, I married a really good cook, and that's somewhat of a curse. It causes a real problem for waistline fluctuation. But not every meal was dynamic, but every one was pretty good. And all of it did more than enough, as you can tell. And you know, when it comes to the Word of God, we need to get off this kick that everything needs to be sugar-coated and everything needs to be pizzazz. And just recognize that, you know what? I love the Word of God and I delight in the law of the Lord. This is the blessed man. He delights in the law of the Lord. So notice this, the word delight. He's joyful. He's joyful. Psalm 37, keep your finger in 1, but go up to verse chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither is the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's what our missionary was telling us in the letter today. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You delight in the word of God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of things in our world that is not very joyful, and certainly is uncertain, and certainly is crazy and goofy, and we don't know what's going to happen in the next few months. We're just not sure, but I tell you right now, I delight in the Lord. I am truly joyful. I don't mean that I am always just, you know, bouncing off the walls happy, but I am a joyful person knowing who's in charge and knowing what the book says is going to happen and knowing it for years and now seeing it pay off. You know, I told you I listened to some bad advice years ago on the radio, but I'll tell you what, I have listened, praise God, to a lot of good advice from this book, and it has benefited me greatly. And so the blessed man is joyful. He is truly delighting in his life and delighting what God is doing in his life. Not only is he joyful, but he's thoughtful. What is he thoughtful about? Well, back in chapter 1 and verse number 2, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The preacher we had here this past week, boy, is he a character. He's 80 years old. He starts his own rabbit trails and I can't remember what he's talking about. He's a goofball. But I'll tell you what, he was a blessing to me. You know, he said, sometimes I go to sleep. Maybe you heard him say this. I'll go to sleep just thinking, Lord, help me to think about you and dream about you tonight. And then wake up in the middle of the night and he'll just talk to the Lord and ask God to help him to think about the right things and to pray about something. And, you know, I do that. I pray to God sometimes in the middle of the night. I wake up and so just start talking to the Lord and think. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, you can meditate on some other thing if you want to. If the last thing you remember before you went to bed was the latest report from the news media, let me remind you that is probably an ungodly source. I'm not saying totally wicked, but it's not a Bible source. And most of us today, we got these little screens in our hand. The last thing we look at is something on our screen. And we don't go to bed comforted. But this man, he delights, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Joshua 1, verse 8, is the only passage in the entire Bible that has the word success in it. And in that verse, it says, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night, so that you can make your way prosperous and have good success. You want good success? You want to be the blessed man? Learn to meditate in the Word of God. Start with it in the morning, all the way into the evening. Some of us have social media, and there's a good question out there that's a good little litmus test, I think, or a reminder. If someone were to take your social media posts from the last week, what would they think of you? You're a strong Republican? You love hunting? You like making money? You're just a clown? Or you love the Lord? I mean, what is it that we talk about? Usually what we meditate on is what we talk about. What we meditate on is what we focus on. This man is thoughtful, and he meditates on the Word of God. That's why our songs, some of our songs are even written from the Scriptures. But our songs and our hymn book are filled with doctrinal things and things that remind us of the Word of God. That's the blessed man. He's joyful. He's thoughtful. Notice he's also hopeful. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's planted. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what some of us need to just learn to do is to just grow where we're planted. Because if we're saved, he planted us And he knows where we are, and he's got streams of living water that will reach our roots and give us what we need. And we need to be hopeful. We need to be planted and patient and trust him. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The confidence I have is that what he starts, he finishes. And God never plants us somewhere and then forgets about us. And so if I've been planted, I have hope. I'm a hopeful person. There's a purpose. I have a purpose. The planter purposefully put me here. There's a reason why I'm here. There's a hope that I can trust in. And your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. You know, one day God planted a tree. It was a sycamore tree. And he planted it just so that a little guy would climb up it. God has purpose for everything that he plants. There's a reason for everything he plants. And when he planted you, so there's a reason for it. Sometimes we step back and say, I think God did me wrong. Hold on a second. You might not realize what God's using you for. And maybe it hadn't quite fully come to fruition yet, but be trusting in him and always be hopeful. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, it could be that you might ask yourself, why in the world did God plant me in the middle of this desert? Got no friends. I'm just all by myself as a tree out here. And it could be the only reason is, but it's a great reason, is that somebody might come along someday, and I know you've seen this out here in our country, and say, oh my goodness, how in the world did that tree grow like that out here in the middle of nowhere? There must be a source. There must be something special going on in that root system. See, testimony. Just another thing that, you know, the trees always point to heaven. Just pointing to him. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll see it in the Bible. There's the story in Ruth of Naomi and her family. They left the famine land and went to Moab. It didn't work out for them. They should have just stayed where they were planted. But God was able to use it for good anyway. But there's so many times that we don't want to trust the Lord, and the grass does look greener somewhere else. Just learn to grow where you're planted. Joyful, he's thoughtful, he's hopeful. And then again in verse 3, he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He's fruitful. I mentioned Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. You know, if you do a lot of transplanting, you're never going to have time to grow and mature and produce fruit. But if you'll grow where you're planted, eventually you'll get fruitful. And that fruit will be a blessing to someone. And pretty soon you won't be the only tree, because there'll be other trees growing alongside you. He's fruitful. He's productive. John 15:5 says, bearing fruit, abiding in him and bearing fruit. Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith. The fruit of the Spirit. He's fruitful as he grows where God's planted him, and he just matures. He becomes fruitful. This blessed man, he's joyful. He's thoughtful on the Word of God. He's hopeful. He's fruitful, and he's beautiful. There in verse 3 of chapter 1, it says, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. One of my favorite people in the Bible is Joseph. And you read the story of Joseph, and the young man was just a good man, a good young guy, 17 years of age, hated by his brothers, sold into slavery by his own brothers. Joseph gets into Egypt as a slave, and Joseph is sold to Potiphar. And it says in Genesis 39 and verse 3 that Joseph had such a bad attitude, he decided he was going to do nothing but sit around and mope. Nope. Genesis 39, verse 3, it says that Potiphar said, you know what, Joseph, you are so good at what you do. I want you to just run my house. Now, Joseph, get this. Joseph is a slave, sold by his own brethren. He belongs to a great man, but he's lost in history. But when life handed him lemons, he just started squeezing out the lemonade. And then Potiphar's wife decided she wanted to have a relationship with him, and he turned her down because he said, "Nah, God don't want me to do this." And so she lied to Potiphar, and then they threw Joseph in prison. But you know what it says in Genesis 39 and verse 23? Same thing. The keeper of the prison said, "You know what, Joseph? You're so good at what you do. Why don't you just manage the prison for me?" You know, no matter where you are, where God's planted you, you can grow and you can have leaves, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's no excuses for our surroundings. There's no excuses for our circumstances, getting the excuse and making excuses. You know what? You can stand out for God and be a beautiful testimony for him if you'll be the blessed man. And so what he does, he's joyful, he's thoughtful, he's hopeful, he's fruitful. He's beautiful, and obviously he's successful. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Look at Psalm 128 with me. Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as the fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. I mentioned some things that the blessed man doesn't do. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Tomorrow, I'm going to take a trip into Wyoming. I already have some sermon CDs on a certain subject that I'm going to listen to in my car as I go. I don't always listen to just sermon CDs. I do listen to some, you know, maybe a Louis L'Amour or something. But I have determined that I want to listen to this series, and so I'm going to listen to it there and back. Let me tell you something. That's the way you get blessed, is by just feeding on and meditating on the Word of God. We have the entire Bible on CD in our library. We have it on MP3 as well. You can listen to God's Word all the time. Now that we've got these electronics that go with us, you can listen to God's Word on recording. You can have it all the time. Now, most of us listen to or meditate on something all day long. What do you listen to? Now, I'm not saying I never tune in to hear what's going on in the news, but most of the time I can catch it in about 10 or 15 minutes, and especially with my smartphone now, I can get what's happening pretty quick. And I can listen to this ungodly person and this ungodly person talk all day long about what's wrong with everything in the world. But at the end of the day, I don't get much out of it. But the blessed man is meditating in and on the Word of God. He's positively loving and following and serving his God. And remember when I quoted in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." You know, we all abound in something. But the thing about it is, if you abound in something that isn't God's business, it's gonna disappear. It's gonna go by the wayside. I don't care how beautiful you built it. I don't care how expensive it was. But if you abound in the work of the Lord, if you abound in something that is God's business, it says at the end of that verse, "For your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There's a lot of things that are in vain. There's a lot of things that really, 100 years from now, they don't really mean anything. They didn't last. But you know, if we'll put our labor in the things of God, it's rewarding. It's rewarding to serve the Lord and to see God do things that we cannot do ourselves. There are human beings sitting in this building right now who I had the blessing of seeing them come to the Lord. You heard several people tell today how they got saved. I don't remember how many, but it might have been four or five, maybe even half a dozen, that said, I got saved at this church. I got saved in the old building. I got saved in the new building. That's a blessing. That's a blessing to me. Hopefully it's a blessing to you. Years ago, there's a lady, she's in heaven now. Her name is Blanche. She lives same place that our friend Donna lives. She used to. And we went around the table at our Bible study. And I asked the lady, so when did you get saved? One lady said, I got saved when I was in camp. When I was 12 years old. I got saved. And Blanche pulled out a tract from our church and said, I got saved after I read this. Wow. You know what? Blanche has been gone for at least a decade, but I know where Blanche is, and I'm going to see her someday. My labor, your labor, the printing of that tract, the funding of it, is not in vain in the Lord. Without getting off on politics, you wait around about 12 or 15 years, you'll scrape the name off your bumper that you were all excited about 15 years ago. Because your labor's in vain in a lot of ways. Sorry. But you know what? When you serve the Lord, your labor's not in vain. Now, the ungodly are not so. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so. Remember, you don't have to be horribly evil to be ungodly. You just don't have to, just not godly. And if you're not saved, you're not godly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I'm not a farmer. I know we've got some in here. The chaff is pretty much everything that's not valuable. The ears of corn, my wife, she of course was trying to beat the snow and harvest up whatever she could last Monday. And the ears of corn, you take that corn and you shuck it and you either scrape all the kernels off and freeze it or can it or then boil it and have corn on the cob. And that's the part you save. But that chaff, that stuff that you don't eat, that stays out there and gets cold and turns brown. And after a while, it just kind of, and it blows. Over on the east side of the state, my allergies go crazy because they got so much of that stuff blowing around over there. And those farmers, they have it down to the bushel. They know how many bushels an acre, and they know how many bushels, and they've got it all down to a science, and they've got it all figured out. Those bushels of corn and those bushels of seed, whatever they're collecting, boy, that's important stuff. And they got barns, and they got these huge tractors and combines, and they collect all of it, and they dump it into a great big trailer, and they haul it off, or then they take it and they store it up in their barn, or they store it in their in the silo or wherever it might be, and they save all that. They know where it's all at. I mean, they know to the bushel what they've got. That's important to them. But you ask the farmer, so where's all the stuff at, the chaff? You keep track of that? Well, that just gets trampled underfoot, and we just rototill it into the ground for next year or something. That's not important. That's the ungodly. The ungodly are like the chaff. And the wind drives it away. God knows the seed. God knows how many bushels. They go in the barn. That's the saved. But the unsaved, they're like the chaff. They're lost. And the wind drives it away. Right now, there's some big names that you and I would recognize. But they're not saved. And one day, they'll be like chaff. And nobody will even remember their name. The Bible says, the name of the wicked shall rot. The wind drives them away. I want to show you two passages, Psalm 49 and Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, just one verse, verse 32. Proverbs 14, 32. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. And then Psalm 49. Verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. I'm not afraid of the grave, But notice verse 16, Psalm 49:16. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, and when the glory of his house is increased. You know, we are intimidated by the rich. I think we would agree. Sometimes we are. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Did you notice it said descend? Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. And men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. Boy, you get yourself a nice car, a nice house. You are something. You are doing good. You are. It's amazing how valuable we consider someone just because they have something. Verse 19, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. The ungodly are like the chaff which the wind drives away. And back in Psalm 1 it says in verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. One day everyone's going to stand before God. But if you're not saved, you'll not be able to stand. You might be a member of a congregation on planet Earth, but that congregation is the one you really need to be a member of. I mean, it's good to be a member of a Bible-believing local church. That is in the Bible. But you know what? If you're a member of a Bible-believing local church, it's only because you're a member of that one first. But if you're not a member of God's congregation, it doesn't matter what membership you had on earth. They'll not stand in the congregation of the righteous. There's coming a congregation. Matthew 15:13 says, if God didn't plant you, you'll be uprooted. 1 John 2:17 says, the world passes away and the lusts thereof. And then at the end of Psalm verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Job 23:10, Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. We sang it today, Rejoice in the Lord, written by Ron Hamilton, who had his eye removed because of cancer at a young age. Ron Hamilton wrote that song that we sang last, Rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. I will come forth as gold. When I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. He got that out of Job. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. You know what? If you're saved, God knows your way. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. You and I right now, there's a lot of things we don't know for sure. But he knows. So ask him. Lord, what am I supposed to be doing tomorrow? Lord, do you want me to go back to church tonight? Ask him. Lord, should I go Wednesday? Should I help put together scriptures and send them to someone around the globe? Should I sit with a young person who might blow their nose on me and help them learn a Bible verse? Speaking of that, did you read the back of our bulletin today? Today is supposed to be Grandparents' Day, and the back of our bulletin tells the story of a grandma and grandpa who do not have grandchildren in the church. So instead, they just adopt a bunch of other kids as their kids. You know, you could do that. God would have you to do that. You know, I don't know what you thought of our preacher this past week, but you know what I saw Friday night? On Friday night, I saw him sitting right here, and you know what? He wasn't sitting by himself. You know who he's sitting with? He is sitting with a young lady he made friends with this week. He knows her name. I wonder how long you've been coming to this church, and I wonder if you know her name. I hope you know the name of every one of those little goobers that just went left here a little bit ago. You say, oh, I got my own problems. I don't want to deal with some other. That's not my kid. That's somebody else's problem. You know what our Savior said? You don't you dare send those. You bring them. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. You ask him, he'll show you what you're supposed to do. There's probably stuff right sitting right around you right now you could be doing, and he's just waiting for you to do it. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows your way. He knows the path you're supposed to be on. But here's what's really sad. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Literally in Matthew 7, there'll be a time where they'll say, Lord, don't you remember us? And he'll say, I never knew you. He'll hit the delete button and he won't even be able to recall when he did know you. That's the ungodly's future. The blessed man is so opposite of the ungodly. Which one are you? Let's bow our heads for a moment.